Gentlemen moderators, Mr. Hicks, ladies and gentlemen, I have engaged in lots of debate. I've never heard a more miserable failure than that which Mr. Hicks has just made. He has dealt with nothing, scarcely anything that I presented here. Well, the Howes over here very kindly listed the charts that Mr. Hicks didn't even mention, much less answer, put on the board number 102. Put that up there just for the people to see here, the charts that I have used that he didn't even hint at, never made any reference to at all. Now, chart 106, please, and tell us what he had to say about this. Now, bear in mind that last night he said he was the leader. Well, if I had followed him as far off as he's following me tonight, there wouldn't have been any leading at all. I took up, every time he introduced a chart last night, I took the chart up and dealt with it. Look at 104, please. Here's another one you never mentioned at all. Number then 105. Number 105. And number 107. There's another one. No reference at all was made to it. Now number 111. Number 111. These are just a few of the things that this man in the negative is making no effort to find. Now he's making a failure. One of the greatest evidences of effectiveness in a debate is for a man to deal with his opponent's arguments. Now, it's Mr. Hicks' obligation, responsibility to deal with these men. Does he intend to wait until he has last speech so that I'll have no reply? Maybe so. Any way he'll get to it, well, we'll be happy about it. Now, I've never seen a fellow that when he gets in a tight, he begins to complain at the other fellow's methods. He said that I was guilty of vituperation last night, but I resorted to abuse of him. Then he gets up here and refers to me as a professional dodger. Of course, it's perfectly all right for Mr. Hicks to say things like that. He said that I was guilty of theological ignorance. Well, now, that doesn't disturb me one bit, but I'd just like for you to notice that Mr. Hicks is plying the same trade he accuses me of. And he said that I despise the name of Jesus. Now, I could get up and say, now, Mr. Hicks, of course, that's not so, and that's, you know it isn't, but I recognize the reason he says these things. He hasn't got anything else to do. How could he answer these arguments? There's no answer to it. And therefore, he has to resort to that. And nobody knows it better than Hicks. Now, Mr. Fowler, you're his moderator. If I can't get him to do it, maybe you can. Will you whisper in his ear and tell him how to deal with these arguments? Please, thank you. Wonderful. You see how well he does, man. That's fine. I said that Joel 2:28 says that the Holy Spirit and the Father are the same. It says nothing of the kind. All it says there, that the Father would send the Holy Spirit, His Spirit. Now, that doesn't say that they're the same any more than when we say that we've got the Spirit of Christ, that we're Christ. And so, of course, there's no point to that at all. He said, now, Jesus did not say in Matthew 28:18, or did not tell them what to say. He said in Matthew 28:18, He told them what to do. All right, then, in Acts 2:38, when He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, He didn't tell them what to say. He told them what to do, didn't He? All right, I believe that. Let's shake hands on that. Would you do that and shake hands on me on that? I accept that. And that then gets away from the question of the fact that you have to utter the word. And yet that's his position, only he doesn't believe that you can say just the word Jesus and it'd be sufficient. Now, in Acts 19:5, and this is really, friends, in my view, the only thing tonight that Marvin Hicks has said that remotely touched the issue is his comments on Acts 19:5. Now, that did deal with the issue, and I'm glad that he brought it up, because I'm happy to deal with that. In Acts 19:5, remember when Paul went over to Ephesus, he found certain brethren, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? Believe there is synecdoche for our saved. That's simply the same thing as saying, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were saved? Well, they answered and said, we haven't so much as heard of the Holy Spirit. Well, Paul immediately saw that there was something defective about their baptism. Well, he's talking here about the reception of the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden he changes the subject to water baptism. Well, why? Here's the reason. Because when they said, we haven't heard of the Holy Spirit, Paul immediately saw there was something defective about their baptism. Why? Because you can't be baptized scripturally without hearing the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you're baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when he saw that they hadn't heard of the Holy Spirit, he saw at once the problem. The baptism was defective. Well, Hicks is just like taking candy from a baby. I don't have no mercy on you because I think you're in error, and I just would like to hold you out. Oh, the check. Aren't we delighted to have this now? This is his sugar stick, sure enough, and he has it in every delivery. Now, mind you, friends, the kind of check that I'm depending on is a check that was signed by heaven, by our Lord, backed by all authority. And it's on the bank of heaven. Matthew 28:18, all authority hath been given unto me both in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, Mr. Hicks comes up here, though, with a check which he admits is a fraud. He has no account in the bank. In the first place, he's guilty of a violation of both federal and state laws and can be indicted before a grand jury for offering worthless paper here tonight. I offer this on the basis of the fact that I am acquainted with some law. Well, Mr. Hicks, if somebody charges you with this and you're arrested, I'll defend you free of charge on the basis that you just didn't know any better. So, there's the difference. Now, friends, may I point out to you that if Hicks will take out an account in the name of father, son, and husband in this bank down there, I give him full value for it. But the very idea of fellow offering, that's kind of like trying to sell $100 bills for a dollar. In the first place, you'd get suspicious of. But then, you know, two can play at that game. So it so happens that I have a little deal here that I want to present for Mr. Hicks. And we'll get to it here in just a moment as soon as I can find it, because I prepared this especially for our good friend here. Now, Mr. Hicks, I have a statement here that I want you to sign. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a dollar for that check. That's all I'll give you, because that's all it'd be worth to me. But it'd be worth that much just to get you to sign this. Quote, I, Marvin Hicks, hereby certify that it is sinful to baptize a group of people saying only the following words, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. A place for you to sign, Marvin Hicks. Good. There you are. Give me the check. Give me the check. Give me the check. I want the check. Haven't I bought the check? No, for a dollar. That's what I offered him for. Now, you see, he's not even honest in his dealings because I offered him a dollar for the check and he won't give me the check.
$1 to sign this.
No, I offered you $1 for the check.
$100 for my check.
I said that I'd give him $1 for the check. I said I'd give him $1 for the check. Well, thank you very much. We're delighted We're delighted to have the signature because now listen, friends, we have on record here that Hicks says it's a sin to do what Jesus in Matthew 28:18-20 said to do. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-20, go teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Marvin Hicks' standard statement here says that it's a sin to use just the words that our Lord used on that occasion. A sin to do that. And whenever you follow Marvin Hicks and whenever you become a member of the Pentecostal United Pentecostal Church, you obligate yourself to believe that it's a sin to baptize people using only the words that our Lord said to use in Matthew 28:18-20. All right, Mr. Hicks, you can bear the consequences of that. Now, he said that I said that God is a man. Of course, I said nothing of the kind. I never said that God is a man. I said that Jesus possessed deity in the flesh, but I didn't mean by that God is a man in the sense that in which we speak of it. And then he said, pick out his wife here tonight. Well, according to your argument, Hicks, I don't know what I'm debating with her. It may well be that I am. Because you take the position that the word one here just means one person, a man and his wife are one, so I don't know whether you're a mister or a sister. So, it may well be that I'm debating with Mrs. Hicks tonight. In fact, if it is you, right tonight, I hope I am debating with her tonight, because I think that she'd probably do a better job than you. Yes, indeed, Mr. Hicks. Now, friends, that covers this speech. Item by item, statement by statement, without a single omission that he has introduced you. how much time do I have now for the question? I have 10 minutes. All right, now I want to get to his answers to my questions. Inasmuch as you said last evening But I want that check now, Mr. Hicks. You told me that you would give me the check for a dollar, and I said it'd be worth a dollar to me if to get your signature on this collection. I see he's not going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
Now, a lot of you people clapped your hands. Let's just see if we're going to put it to that. How many of you out there heard him say he'd sell me a check for a dollar? We'll lift your hands. All right. All right, now listen. Inasmuch as you said last evening, all right, friends, we're all having a good time now. It's a pleasure to me to thank these fellows. Well, and who was it that started the cheering? I'll just ask you that. Who did it? Now, remember that we made an appeal for no participation on the part of the audience. These fellows started it. All right, we'll wind it up if that's what you want to do. All right, back to the question. You may let my time start. Inasmuch as you said last evening that Mary did not give birth to the eternal Spirit, and that the Spirit was not in Jesus when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? State specifically, when the Spirit entered Jesus following his birth, and when the Father left his Son before he died on the cross. He said now, first of all, that the Spirit conceived Jesus in the womb of Mary. But he said last night that the Spirit was not born of Mary. Now, he hinted tonight that the Spirit was there when Jesus was born. That involves a contradiction from what he said last night. But then, with reference to the Father and the Son, before the Son died on the cross, when did the Father leave him? He believes the Father was in the Son. He said he left him when he spoke, at the moment he spoke, out of mind. Because if he was there at the time Jesus began speaking, then the Father hadn't forsaken. Sometime prior to the time when the Lord began to speak, the Father had forsaken him. Well, that was before he died. Now, Mr. Hicks, my point is this. According to your position, Jesus and the Father were the same until the Father forsook him. But then, there is only one person in the Godhead. Now then, when this Father that you say was in him until he forsook him, when he left, how many were there? It was Jesus on the cross. And that was the Father that already left. And he said that. All right then, one of two things is true. Either there are two persons in the Godhead, at least the Father and the Son, or Jesus was no more than a mere man when he died on the cross. Now, one or the other of those points follows. Now, Hicks, I'm charging that your position is that when our Lord died, that he was no more than a man. He was just a hull, a shell, that being had already left. In which case, then, the Lord did not die for us on the cross. The Son of God did not die on the cross, because there was no part there of him that was of God at the time that he died, because according to his position, the deity part had already left him. Now, Hicks, get it down now and answer this. Did our Lord on the cross die simply and solely as a man or as the Son of God? What about it? I charge that these people don't believe in the atonement of death. I charge that they don't believe that Jesus died in a sense that differed from that of any other man. I ask you, what difference was there in the death of Christ on the cross according to your position than that of any other martyr who died for the cause of Christianity, the cause of religion? He makes Jesus nothing more than a martyr on the cross. Now, if this is either so or not, if what I'm saying is not true, get up here and tell us. Because this is their position, friends. I want to know what Jesus accomplished by his death if he was no more than a mere man. The truth of the business is that these fellows believe that when Jesus was born, he was no more than any other baby, and that when he died, he was no more than any other man. And that's what you've got to believe in order to believe Pentecostalism. That's the reason that I, one of the many reasons why I repudiate. How much time I have now? Since you supposedly refuse to affirm a proposition on baptism in Jesus' name that other prominent debaters in the United Pentecostal Church have affirmed with me, and since all of you claim to be inspired, just like the apostles were, does the Spirit lead you to refuse to do what he prompts others to do? He said, that's your problem. You've lost your marbles. That's your problem. Oh, it's not my problem. It's yours. You claim to be inspired just like the apostles, but also Welsh claims. Now, here are two inspired men that can't agree on what words to be used when you're baptized. One Pentecostal preacher says, baptized in the name of Jesus only. Another one says, you've got to use the word Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross and commended his spirit to his Father, did he receive his own spirit? He was if he was the Father. Was there ever a time when deity did not possess this spirit? If not, did he really die? James 2:26 says, the body without the spirit is dead. Oh, he says now this was just his human spirit.
Just his human spirit. Well, what about the other spirit already gone? Gone when? Before he died.
Therefore, there wasn't one bit of difference between Jesus on the cross and any other person born of the mother. Now, Hicks, you never get over that.
You must deal with that. That's the issue here. That's the point that I'm emphasizing tonight.
That's what I insist. Did that which Mary conceived of the Holy Spirit differ in any way from that which Eve conceived before the birth of her first child?
Well, now, he does what I said to ask there.
He said, well, the difference was in the way in which they conceived. I never asked.
I asked if there's any difference in the persons involved.
And he still haven't answered that question. Now, friends, that brings us up to the question of Catholicism. These fellows, when they run out of soap, start shouting Catholicism. Well, I want to read you a little history here. Mr. Hicks has read from Catholic authorities. I'm going to read from his own authority. I have here the United Pentecostal Church International Incorporated. I wonder what particular state or government that the church in Jerusalem is incorporated in. And besides that, I don't read it was united. I don't read that the church itself was united as a name. And I don't read anything about the United Pentecostal Church in the Bible. Nobody else ever did. Nothing about it, of course. Now, what I want you to get here is the question of who started practicing Catholicism. Now, here's the way this started. I'm reading from their manual, it's the foreword. During the last 21 days of the 19th century, a band of earnest, hungry-hearted ministers and Christian workers in Bethel Bible College, Topeka, Kansas, called a fast, praying earnestly for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which, to their joyous surprise, they were praying for it. The way it came, it surprised them. That didn't sound to me like they had much faith in their prayers. They came up in their surprise, came upon them in the early hours of the morning on January the 1st, 1901. The people were heard speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, just as it happened on the day of Pentecost in the year 30 A.D. And that's when this thing started here, on January the 1st, 1901. Now watch. With the coming of the Holy Spirit, the word of the Lord became a new book. Truths which had been hidden for many years were made clear. He shouldn't blame us. We just got the New Testament. That's all we got. He claims an additional revelation on this. For now watch. Pardon? In the year of 1914 came the revelation on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The pivotal doctrines of the absolute deity of Jesus and the baptism in his name became tenets of faith. Now, watch now what they did. The power which was hidden in the name of Jesus began to be revealed. Literally, thousands were rebaptized. What they had of them till that time? Catholic baptism. According to him. The whole outfit had Catholic baptism for the first 14 years of their existence. Now, any of those people go to heaven? Any of those people go to heaven, Mr. X? All right, now, and furthermore, bearing in mind this, how they come to know that baptism is to be only in the name of Jesus? Well, because they had a special revelation. They didn't get it from the New Testament. It had been in the New Testament all the time, he claims now. Well, why was it then that your brethren were practicing Catholicism? Until they claimed to get a special direct revelation from heaven. You get this, friend. Every person that, according to his view, that practices baptism into the name of the Father, is baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but that person has something that you couldn't get from the New Testament without a special revelation. Now, we reject his revelation, we reject his doctrine, we believe in the New Testament, and that alone. Now, Mr. Hicks, up till now, you haven't dealt with my arguments. I insist that you do so, that I'll have some reply at the last. And I want you to know this, that if you turn over that check to me, you're going to go to judgment owing me $1.
Oh, he's been at it a long time. Learned all the little silly tricks. Guess I'll open it formally before we get informal. Mr. Woods, gentlemen moderators, ladies and gentlemen, great to come back to you for the second speech to deny the proposition which was supposed to have been affirmed but was not. Actually, we had a little problem there in that we had signed that there would be no demonstration from the audience. Mr. Woods, I don't know how many debates you've had, but if you did not ask this audience for a raise of hands, then I was not observing. It was he first who asked for a demonstration from the audience. That's not about right. That's what happened. And then when I asked for the people who heard the truth, and we have this on tape, and your trick is going to catch you, and I'm going to play it tomorrow night, right here where they can hear it. You see, he offered me that statement, if I would sign it, he offered me a dollar. Had nothing whatsoever to do with the $1,000 I offered him. They were unrelated instances, and he knows it. And the reason why he didn't buy my $1,000 check for $100, he said, that Hicks, here's another fabrication, has no account. Ladies and gentlemen, besides that, you're in trouble for practicing law without a license now. He may file charges against you. You'd be a preacher or a lawyer, one or the other. I'll tell you, you need a little lesson in law, just like you do in preaching. I told you this money was in the bank. This is not fraudulent. I'll even give you the name, Reverend Marvin A. Hicks. Got a reverend there, too, whether you like that or not. 4521 Marie Street, Corpus Christi, Texas, Parkdale State Bank, number 460-0565. And there's $1,000 in there. So don't get up here and say that I offered you worthless paper. That check is worth $1,000. You think you can fool around here and fool all these people? They got more sense than you got. And the reason why he didn't buy it, he missed the point altogether. He didn't miss it. He wanted you to miss it. So the only way he can do in debating is put up a smoke screen. The idea was, the issue was the signature. The father, the son, and the husband, did he deal with that? Of course not. He said, he may be debating Mrs. Hicks for all he knows. Now, isn't that a ridiculous analogy when I told him that just because you see Jesus, you see the Father, that doesn't mean when you see me, you see my wife. And if he wants to know how a husband and wife are one, I'll tell him after this session. Let that soak in. If that's the kind of debating we'll do, we'll just do that kind of debate. Yes?
Father, son, and husband's on the check. I even wrote it with my own handwriting.
So that's not worthless paper unless there's no name on there. You see the point? There's no name on there. That's why he didn't buy it. I'm a dollar better off than I was when I came. This is becoming a profitable organization. You know, he says, where is it? United Pentecostal Church International. You left some of that off. United Pentecostal Church International, nonprofit organization. You're going to call it all. Call all the name of the United Pentecostal Church. Besides, he said he can't find that in the Bible. I'll read that to him tomorrow night. United Pentecostal Church in the second chapter of Acts. Make a note of that. I'll read it to you. It's in there. All right. Now, Mr. Wood says that Joel 2:28 does not say that the Spirit of God is the Holy Ghost. It's Mr. Guy Wood's word against that of the Apostle Peter. Peter stood up in Acts 2 and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, saith God, will I pull out my spirit. What kind of spirit did they receive at Pentecost? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He knows that. Acts 2 confirms that Joel 2:28 is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He got himself in that predicament, and now he's having a hard time getting out of it. Now, he asked for a show of hands. This was a demonstration from the audience, and then he said that it is a sin that I sign to affirm, or deny rather, that the words Father, Son, and Spirit are to be used in water baptism. Hicks signed that it's a sin to say what Jesus said say. I tell you, Jesus didn't say that. He said, go do it. He said, find the name of the Father, John 5:43. Find the name of the Son, Luke 1:31. Find the name of the Holy Ghost and baptize in that name. And that's why Peter in Acts 2 said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that that name is Jesus. That's why I signed that paper. I'll take that paper to the judgment. I'm glad my name is on that paper. That name is Jesus. They're asking for no demonstration from the audience, so they just shouldn't have started it, and I'm going to ask them as a speaker, let's refrain from that. Thank you for trying. God love you. All right. Now, he said that it is a sin that I have signed something that's terrible and tragic. Now, let me tell you what the sin that Mr. Woods is doing. The sin of that paper I signed is the ignoring of the name Jesus. He said that Jesus said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What does he do? He goes out. That doesn't say what to say. It says what to do. He goes out and puts them down in the water and says, doesn't make any difference what you say, but 237 heathen baptisms, the only kind you can recognize from heathen baptism and Christian baptism is by what the preacher says, so it doesn't matter what he says. That's why he says something. You do say something, don't you? Yes, you do. You don't put them down in water not saying anything. You say the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and you know Jesus said, do that, not say it.
And that's why Peter in Acts 2 told them the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they were thus baptized in that name in Acts 8:16, Acts 10:48, and Acts 19:5. And besides, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the sin involved in this proposition is to ignore the name Jesus. The name Jesus is what provoked the venom from those who despise it. They put Church of Christ on their bill. Put Church of Jesus Christ on there, and I'll give you $50, every church that'll put it on there. Just put Church of Jesus Christ. You won't put Jesus up there. No, you won't. There's something about that name irritates you, fellas. Something about that name you deny. See, that name is what irritates. And Jesus said, or the Bible says in Acts 4:10, for there is salvation, verse 12, in no other name. For there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Philippians 2:8, 9, and 10 says, Father, God has highly exalted him, the Spirit exalted the Son, and given him a name that is above every name. Was the name of Philippians 2? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Or was it Jesus? That's the question you ought to answer. But now, let's go to another one. Said, who was that that died on the cross? A filthy Jew, no more than any other ordinary man. That's what Hicks' doctrine says. Let me tell you what Hicks' doctrine says. Hebrews 10:5, quotations of this chapter are taken from Psalms 40, verse 5. This is quoted from the Greek translation of the Old Testament, which says, a body which thou hast prepared me. God prepared a body of flesh. And when he made it, in his omniscience, he made a body that was possessing of the quality to die. There would have been no purpose for God to make a body for Jesus to live in if that body couldn't die. So he made the body, and he prepared it to die. So since his body was not present in Psalm 40, it proves that when the Son was mentioned in Psalm 40, it was prophetic. And I said the Son was mentioned in reference to the Father prophetically last night. He completely misquoted that, fabricated a lie on it, accused me of saying something I didn't say, and said the Son was mentioned only in Isaiah 9:6. I didn't say that. I said it was mentioned only prophetically in relationship to the Father in Isaiah 9:6. So you quote what I say and quit telling people things I don't say. All right. Then he said everybody in the United Pentecostal Church was a Catholic before 1914. Ladies and gentlemen, I've heard about everything now. The truth of the matter is, and I'm sure you want the truth, and I'm going to ask you to give ear to the truth. The truth of the matter is this. The Holy Ghost is given. To who? Well, we'll find out tomorrow night. The Catholics are receiving it, the Baptists and Methodists, and by Mr. Wood's own admission, many of you Church of Christ people are receiving what is known as the charismatic experience. You know why the Holy Ghost is given to all religions? To lead and guide you into all truth, out of Catholicism, out of Camelism, into the wonderful revelation of the oneness of God and water baptism in Jesus' name. Some who receive the Spirit follow that leading. Others who receive the Spirit refuse to follow that leading. That's the difference, sir. Some of us came out, went on, and found the whole truth that completely restored the full gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're happy about that now. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask one thing of my friend before we go into a few charts here. And I'm going to ask you to look seriously and objectively on these charts. I'm trying to deal with the points you brought out now with Jesus God. That's what we're talking about. Jesus knows everything, yes. John 2:17. But no. Mark 13:22. He has all power. Hebrews 1:3. John 4:3. No. Now he has all authority. Colossians 2:10. He doesn't have. He's Lord of all. Yes. No. He's the resurrector. Yes. No. I've been begging this man to deal with John 2:19 and Galatians 1:1. He will reign forever. Hebrews 1:8. He wants scripture. Now we're giving some. 1 Corinthians 15:28. Jesus is everywhere. Yes. Matthew 28:20. No. Matthew 3:16. Equal with the Father. Philippians 2:26. You call it not robbery, but be equal with God. Then in John 14:18, he says, my Father is greater than I. Now, you have a problem with Trinitarianism. You're saying that the Father is greater than the Son, and Jesus was equal with the Father. Mr. Woods, do you believe that the Son and the Father are co-equal? If so, why did Jesus say, my Father is greater than I? Wait, I'll tell you now, and I'll give you a little Bible lesson here. You can add it with your law, and then you'll have the law on the top. Now, as man or Son, Jesus was in this house. He was limited. As Father or Spirit, he was not limited. Somebody says, oh, but Jesus received all power in heaven. Matthew 28:18 and in earth. I believe that. I believe every one of you believe Jesus received all power in heaven and earth. Somebody said, well, if you received it, somebody gave it to him. So that means two persons. Well, you're nodding your head yet about that. Well, brother, get ready. You're in for a fix. You're in a problem now. Because if Jesus received all, then the one that gave it to him didn't have any limits, so you have a powerless Father. Oh, he gave him all. Don't look at me with such hatred. I'm telling you, the Bible said Jesus had all power in heaven and in earth. So if the Father, the first person, gave it to the Son, the second person, all power, then the Father didn't keep any for himself. So,
But the flesh is weak. The will of the Spirit is what the flesh came to do. Now, everything you can bring out on all your charts is answered by the will of the Spirit and the will of the flesh. But now, if, and I wrote an if here because this was fabricated last night and propounded to you in a derogatory way, I tell you, if the Father and the Holy Ghost are two separate and distinct persons, Jesus had two fathers. Hicks didn't say Jesus had two fathers. The United Pentecostal Church has never preached that Jesus had two fathers. I put if the Father and the Holy Ghost are two separate and distinct persons, then Jesus had two fathers. The Bible says in John 3:16, He's the only begotten Son of God. Romans 15:6, the Father of Jesus Christ. Then Luke 1:35, Holy Ghost shall come upon Mary. And Matthew 1:20, that which is conceived in her is not the Holy Ghost. The truth is Luke 24:39, her spirit hath not faith in bones. So the Father, which is the Spirit, John 4:24, is the Holy Ghost, John 3:28, that overshadowed Mary, Luke 1:35, and thus we have the God man, not two persons. I'm going to give Mr. Wood 30 seconds of my time. It will only take him 30 seconds to walk up here behind these microphones. I've had the courage to do what he asked me to. I've signed his yellow paper. I've gone home with a buck. I'm better off than I was when I came. I want Mr. Woods to settle this issue of the Godhead tonight, once and for all. No use bringing any other charts, no other proposition. I have about 25 here I could bring out, but I want him to come and tell us which person in the Godhead was the Father of Jesus Christ. Was it God the Father, the first person, or was it God the Holy Ghost, the third person? Now, which person was the Father? Don't go into a big ordeal about saying that so-and-so told so-and-so what to do. I want to know which one. Now, you have the time to do it. I hold my time unless he's going to answer. I don't want you talking about it. You come up here. It'll be all right. I'll give you my time. All you have to do, Mr. Wood, is come up here and say Father or Holy Ghost. Or if that's too much pressure, just come up here and say both of them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he's trying to affirm that there are three separate and distinct persons in the Godhead. If they're separate and distinct, then I have a right to demand which one of those persons fathered the Son. Did they both do it? Or did Jesus have two fathers? Or did the first person do it? Or the third person? Now, he's got to start a great fool. Who is the Father? Jesus said, I go to the Father. My Father's greater than I. I leave the world and go to the Father. Well, I said, so Jesus had a father. All right, I see that. But the Father said, I like my son. So Jesus is the son of the Father. I will be with him as the Father, but he is the son. And the son, he said, as long as God has turned 65 times, the first person is called Father. 77 times, Jesus' first person is called the first person is Father. Now, not once in the Holy Bible called Father, is the Holy Spirit called the Father of Jesus in all the Bible. Well, I'll say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he's the son of the first person. Thank you for that chart. I love to teach from your chart. Now, what you have to understand, now, God Woods has a colossal problem. Come up here and tell us why that which is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Ghost. If the first person was the Father, all right, if the first person was the Father, then why was that which is in Mary of the Holy Ghost? And don't tell me the first person told the third person what to do. I don't believe that. None of my people believe that. None of your people believe that. I don't think. I'm giving y'all credit for having more thinking. Look, I have 2 minutes. Let's just. I know this is making you squirm a little bit. I hate to do you this way. You might have a heart attack. I know it's hard on you, but you made these statements, and you've taken this position that there's three separate distinct persons in the Godhead, and I want to know which one's the Father of Jesus. And you put up there that Jesus is the Father, the first person is the Father.
Well, I want to know. What happened then? Holy Ghost! What happened? Holy Ghost, get there! That which is conceived in Mary is of the third person. Well, you get up here and tell us which one. And if you don't do it, in your next speech, I'm going to stop and take 15 minutes. I'm going to beg you to come up and do it. Now, he says, yes, yes. The man says, God the Son. The Bible says the Son of God. The doctrine of interior teaching is Antichrist. 1 John 4, 3. Who is Antichrist? But he that denies that Jesus Christ has come how? In the flesh. They try to make that flesh of God. That's Antichrist. The flesh of the Son. God the Son. Now, let's see which one. God the Son or the flesh of the Son. All right, the Son was human. The Son was inferior. The Son was weak. And the Son died. But as God the Son, can you imagine God being human, God being inferior, God being weak, and God died? As man, as Son, man, he, what? Prayer. Jesus Christ prayed as a man. As God was here, he answered prayer. As man he slept. As God he come to see. As man he died. And as God he raised the dead. John 2:19, Mr. Wood, Jesus even raised himself from the dead. But he did so as the Spirit, the omnipresent Father, and not as the Son of God. You know that. I want you to talk about that. Now, Patrick replied. Patrick said the Holy Ghost is not being in spiritual manifestation. Jesus said the Holy Ghost is Christ in you. Colossians 1:27. Put that down for me, church class people. The Holy Ghost is Christ in you. And the Bible says Christ coming to you is the Holy Ghost. John 14:18, Jesus said, I will not leave you comforted, but I will come to you. The Spirit of Christ, Romans 8:9-11, is that Spirit that raised up the body from the dead, where are you? It shall quicken your mortal bodies. Not two spirits, but only one spirit. Confusion to Christ. Confusion says the Holy Ghost is not the Father. Christ said, we will come who? He and the Holy Ghost, and make our abode with him. The Father will come as the Holy Ghost. With the child of the Holy Ghost, Matthew 1:18. Thy Spirit says God, John 2:28, that Christian is the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and in Ephesians 2:22, a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, we're going to another car from water baptism. We'll come back to the omnipresence in just a little bit.
How much time do I have?
1 minute. All right. Let's talk now about water baptism in the name of Jesus. Now, I wish Mr. Woods would spend a little more time on that, because if he would, it would make it a lot clearer what we're talking about in the baptism question. All right? Now, submit that. Titus 1:11 says, whose mouth must be stopped, who teach the things they ought not to do. That's why I'm up here, stopping the mouth of Mr. Woods. He says that baptism in the name is in the authority only. But God says, not in the authority, not upon the authority, but into the name. Acts 8:16, Acts 19:5. We are buried out. Romans 6:3, into Christ. We're baptized into Christ. All you Baptist people, let me tell you something. I see Oscar Hill back there. You listen to this, Oscar. Let me tell you something. Is that time? I'll take you up later, Oscar Hill.